Track 10, The Four C's of Confrontation. On the last track, we discussed the six key guidelines to help parents stop enabling and disengage from their chemically addicted teenager. These guidelines are: don't take it personally, don't confront, don't say things you don't mean, don't nag, don't clean up, and don't make excuses. We also discussed the learning ignoring skills technique. On this track, we will discuss the four C's of confrontation in an intervention with a chemically addicted teenager. These are choices, consequences, contracts, and control. In my experience, the first C for parents to learn when preparing to confront their teenager about his or her substance abuse problems is choices. I find it important to explain to parents that confrontation is not punishment. As you know, it does not use violence, threats, shouting, judging, moralizing, or humiliation. It is based on respect and elicits the teenager's cooperation and involvement in the intervention process. In my experience, it is essential to offer choices and never put the teenager in a corner with no way out. As you are well aware, there are three areas in which parents should be prepared to offer choices to their teenagers: when they are addressing a specific behavior, when they are determining consequences, and when they are enforcing consequences. Joni, a physical therapist, saw me about her son Brian's marijuana use. Brian recently broke his curfew by 3 hours, and Joni asked me how she would address this behavior. I stated, "Give Brian a choice. Tell him he can either come in 3 hours early next Friday night, or he can stay at home for the next 3 weeknights. Ask him what he wants to do." The second C in consequences. As you are aware, confrontation is not punishment, but it is not permissive. It involves well-defined rules and set consequences for breaking these rules. I find that there are three essential qualities to an effective rule. An effective rule is specific, reasonable, and enforceable. For example, the rule, "no alcohol use whatsoever," is simple, reasonable since underage use is against the law, and enforceable since the teenager lives in the parent's home. In my experience, consequences for breaking rules come in two forms, natural or logical. Natural consequences are events such as having a hangover after drinking, and the parent simply needs to let events take their course, as long as the teenager is not in immediate danger. Logical consequences require action on the parent's part and are related to the incident, such as confiscating a teenager's keys after driving when drunk. Clearly, logical consequences need to be reasonable and set up in advance so that the teenager knows what the consequences of their actions will be. I explain to parents that these consequences must be enforced calmly, without anger, and with respect. The third C is contracts. Contracts involve the supervision and monitoring of behaviors at home, at school, and in the community. Behaviors and consequences for not abiding by these behaviors are set out clearly in the contract. Contracts are important because they help the chemically addicted teen take responsibility for themselves. They give the teenager some control over their environment. They help the teen develop trust because the consequences are always consistent. And they allow teenagers to prove they are not chemically dependent by abiding by the rules. I find that contracts can also help parents and counselors determine if the teenager needs to be placed in a more protective environment to treat their substance abuse. These are the three types of contracts. Simple contracts include basic, non-negotiable rules such as no drug use and no skipping of class. Possible consequences for breaking a simple contract include the choice between a chemical dependence evaluation in an inpatient or outpatient setting. A TERF contract includes all of the rules of a simple contract and also outlines specific behaviors for keeping certain privileges at home. For example, keeping school performance up in order to keep the use of the telephone. Consequences for breaking a TERF contract include the choice between treatment in an inpatient or outpatient setting. Finally, in my experience, a bottom-line contract outlines specific behaviors necessary for the chemically addicted teen to stay living at home. It may include all of the elements of both the simple and TERF contracts. The consequences for breaking a bottom-line contract include the choice between two available and reputable inpatient treatment centers. In addition to choices, consequences, and contracts, I find that the fourth C of confrontation is control. I explain to my clients that by setting rules, determining consequences, and spelling them out in contracts, they are taking back their environment and reestablishing control over what happens in it. As you may have experienced, this does not mean parents are controlling their teens' behaviors, feelings, and decisions. What they are saying is, if you choose to break the rules of the contract, this is how I will change the environment. As you are well aware, how the parents change the environment depends on the teenager's needs and behaviors. If the teenager has overdosed or become violent, most immediate changes in the environment, such as calling the police or ambulance, are necessary. Sometimes the consequences involve removing the teenager from home and school. I find that in this case, it is important to remind the parents that this is not the same as abandoning or turning their backs on the teenager. It is another way of being responsible towards the teenager who can no longer be responsible for him or herself. After Joni and I discussed Brian's marijuana use and curfew breaking, I asked her to try the setting an effective rule exercise. First, I asked Joni what rule she would like to set, reminding her to make it specific, reasonable, and enforceable. Joni stated, "How about no marijuana use?" I told Joni this was a good choice. It is a simple rule, reasonable because marijuana is illegal, and enforceable because Brian lived in her home. Next, I asked Joni what logical consequence she would set for Brian. Joni stated, "Well, a logical consequence to me would be no staying out past 9 at night. That's when all the parties he goes to smoke start." Joni and I agreed that this consequence was directly related to Brian's behavior and was reasonable because it would effectively prevent Brian from getting to his main source of marijuana. Finally, we agreed that Joni would explain this rule and consequence to Brian that afternoon so that Brian would know in advance what to expect if he smoked marijuana. On this track, we have discussed the four C's of confrontation in an intervention with a chemically addicted teenager. These are choices, consequences, contracts, and control. On the next track, we will discuss the three essential confrontation skills. These are monitoring skills, giving feedback, and consequating. We will also discuss the simple chart technique for assisting the parents of addicted teens with these three confrontational skills. Question 10. What are the four C's of confrontation?